Absolute is pure, changeless being as absolute. Absolute is pure, changeless being as absolute. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. Absolute is pure, changeless being. Now, what does it mean to be pure, changeless being? Well, the Greek philosopher Parmenides, he explained it as absolute, as pure, changeless being. It is unmanifest. Now, how do we think about it? Absolute is the unmanifest. How can we talk about something if it is unmanifest? Man lives in an unmanifest universe. Man has his entire being in an unmanifest universe. Man experiences what appears to be a manifest universe, but he unmanifests it constantly and remanifests it and unmanifests it and remanifests it continually every moment of his life. Now, what does it mean to be in an unmanifest universe? An unmanifest universe is what our thoughts are. Our thoughts are concepts. Not in the truest sense, but in a general sense. Our thoughts are concepts. Absolute is existing as a concept, as an is. It has no reality, it has no expression, it has no fulfillment. It is only when humanity, in the relative frame, looks at the concept, which is a mental aberration that we can direct in any way that we want, and we can put it into any placement we want, but it is really unmanifest, and it will remain unmanifest all of the days of its existence. The appearance of manifest is not the reality. All illusion is the apparent manifest as far as humanity is concerned, as far as the relative world is concerned. The relative looks at concepts and thinks about concepts. For instance, the relative thinks about a house. And in thinking about a house, you think about a design for it. And you think about the number of rooms, and you think what the rooms will be used for, and how the rooms may be furnished, and what kind of a yard it'll have, and what neighborhood it'll be in, and what sort of trees will be around it, what sort of plants and gardens will be around the house. How large will be the garage according to the number of cars that are in the family that you want to keep off the street. All these things are relative concepts, changeable concepts, and it's one of these things that just works it that way. A man is married, and they have 5 children, and he and his wife live in this lovely house with a 5-car garage because each one of the children is getting ready to be able to have a car, if they don't already have one, and then the family divorce. And so here is this man and wife with a 5-car garage and with this big house, and they're going to split. Now, who's going to take care of the children? Who's going to take care of the cars? Who's going to take care of all these things? Well, depending upon who does and what sort of an income they have for themselves and how well they can afford to do it, that'll depend on whether they keep the 5-car garage household that they have. So it could have been for a few days, a few months, a few years, could have been a lifetime, but the change came, and so the appearance of the 5-car garage in this household was no longer natural and no longer reasonable. And so the 5-car garage house was sold, and another house was purchased, or another house was moved into, however the program worked out. But you see, what was a reality? The 5-car garage house was a reality, but it changed because circumstances changed, because the concepts changed. And if the family had defined and divined to be together for eternity, then the 5-car garage and the house would be interesting up to a point. And when all the children leave home, and then you have 6 bedrooms in the house, and you have a 5-car garage, and you have large family room, you have a large yard and play area with a tennis court out and back and a swimming pool, and you have all of these things, and pretty soon you're just down to mama and yourself, and you're alone in this large, wonderful house. Now, are you going to immediately sell it because the children have moved out? Or are you going to recognize that the children are going to have children and they would like to come and play at Grandma and Grandpa's house and enjoy these things? So, you see, you could easily sell it. You could easily dispose of it, thinking that now your family is no longer needing it, that no one will need it. Or you can think broader, if your budget allows it, and keep the large house and remember that there will be grandchildren, and then there will be grandchildren of grandchildren. I know my sister is experiencing this very wonderfully. Her children are grown, and her children have children, and her children are now starting, her children's children are starting to have children. And so there's great-grandchildren in the scene. And how wonderful, how very wonderful that these things are working out this way. And would they have dreamed that they would be fit and fiddle to enjoy these grandchildren and the great-grandchildren as much as they do? Well, not as years pass, but in years today, things change. And so this is what the Absolute seems to do. The Absolute is the concept. The concept of universal house. The concept of family. The concept of relationships. The concept of these things. But not in the detail that we think about them. The Absolute thinks about them, if it thinks about them, and I'm sure it doesn't, because it's just an existence of an is. The Absolute has that concept, and the concept is itself complete and whole and perfect. Now, where do we stand in this understanding with our Greek philosopher? That he sees Absolute is pure, unchangeless Absolute. It is pure, unchangeless, unmanifest, the fantastic quality that exists in reality. Where do we fit into this picture? Does this make any difference to us? Not in the slightest. In the relative world, we could look for absolute concepts and manifest them in our relative world, but we don't have the ability to do that. And the reason I say we don't have the ability is that to manifest absolute concepts, you would have no other relative concepts relative to that absolute concept. If you think house, then the ideal house is one which might say has a roof and a floor, windows and doors, rooms, and whatever. That's the ideal house. Now, does an ideal house have a garage? Not necessarily. Does an ideal house have a basement or an attic? Not necessarily. Does the ideal house live within range of a city and markets and so forth? Not necessarily. The ideal house exists on itself as an is and has nothing to do with anything else. Has nothing to do with where anything is or how anything is or the reason for anything being. It has no purpose whatsoever for how anything is. And when we come to that understanding that absolute just is, then we are not the slightest bit concerned about how we handle it. We're not the slightest bit concerned about what we're supposed to do about it. We're not the slightest bit concerned that it exists or does not exist. Think about these things for yourself. Are you interested in manifesting absolute? It would be very pure and very, very Spartan, very stark, or very lovely. Depends upon what sort of an absolute creator you are, what sort of an absolute envisioner you are. Do you envision the pure concept of house? Or do you envision the concept of house a la your name, as I would envision the concept of house a la Herb Byerly, of how I would think about looking at a house? And am I in my knotty pine period, where the walls in my office, in my playroom, are knotty pine, as they were when we were youngsters and my dad was doing the building? Is my cherry wood period, when I had my offices in Andromeda, and my office was as large as several living rooms, and it was all done in a deep cherry wood, very beautiful, including the ceiling. And the floors were, of course, done in a walnut or an oak. But it was all very beautiful, very, very lovely. Even in my office, I had stained glass windows and other lovely things. Now, how do I envision these things for myself? In that house, I had 7 stories, and I used the top floor as my personal retreat. But in other houses that I lived in, Valtosa, where we were raised, we had 5 bedrooms in the house, including the sleeping porch, and we had a large recreation room in our basement, and the living room across the entire front of the house, looking up Warren Avenue with its beautiful elm trees there, which have been changed because the new trees are now being planted. But now, you see, there you go. There you go. When I think ideal house, what do I think of? Do I think of the house at the embassy where we have 3 lovely bedrooms and beautiful study and large dining room and living room and kitchen and a 4-car garage on it and a large gymnasium attached to it with the swimex and the jacuzzi and the bicycle equipment and riding equipment indoor? What do I think of? You see, the moment we become human, we lose sight of absolute conditions. We lose sight of the unmanifest that can never be manifest. Because the moment it comes into our consciousness, we color it with our dreams, with our thoughts, with our desires, with our goals for it. And so absolute is pure, changeless, unmanifest reality. And can we conceive of pure, changeless, unmanifest reality? Quite likely not. But it's fun to play the game and give her a whirl. Because the closer we are to absolute awareness in our consciousness, the closer we are to revealing the divinity that we are, the magnificence that we are, and the perfection that we are, the closer we are to being the allness that we are. And when you're ready for that step, then you won't have to give it a second thought, because you will be unattached by anything. You'll be untouched. You'll be unpossessed. You'll have no judgment, and you'll be one-pointed. And living in that type of consciousness, we have the unconditional love for ourselves and our world and all that exists, and it need not have any format or any expression other than its own perfect, wonderful self. It's kind of fun to play with this absolute philosopher thing, and it's fun to hear what the Greek philosophers and Immanuel Kant and others have said about these terrific things, and we'll be talking more about it. So, as you want to play the game of thinking as an absolute philosopher might think, join us every day for our third hour lecture, and we will tell you more about the absolute philosopher. I love you. I love you. I love you.